Hello, this is Ashley Pfeiffer
and Ariel Brooke Stevens,
and you are listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. And you can listen to us anytime on Reggae Rocks Kendall County. We are going to be with you all on the first Saturday of every month from 9 to 10. So if you've missed an episode and you want to go back and listen to any of them, you can find them on the Reggae Rocks app under the podcast section. And again, anyone that we've done previously is on there. So, we've got lots of stuff coming at them today.
Yes, yes. So, how you been?
Good. How about you?
Good. It's a little crazy now that our kids have graduated.
I know. I think last time we had the story about the graduation,
yes,
right?
And it has been that nuts ever since.
It has been nuts. And now here we are talking about college orientation.
Yes.
And y'all just did yours. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing, or I say we, like I'm going to college. Thank goodness I'm not. But
it is totally different. It feels like a whole new education.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I say if I had to go to college right now, I probably couldn't pass after looking at what my oldest is having to do in college. I'm like,
Lordy. Well, and this may not be fair because it's not 100% of the parents, but I will say that orientation, parents were freaking out. The helicopter generation is real.
I know.
My Lord, really our parents paid no attention to us, so we turned around and smothered the heck out of our kids.
I guess if that's what happened. I don't know. I do not know, but we will see. So my youngest orientation is this coming Monday, so it's going to be interesting to go and see and do and all of
that. Well, and ironically, our kids are going to the same place, so it'll be fun to compare notes.
It will be fun.
Yes.
I'm sure that we'll hear lots of stories about them because it is a small school, so that's going to be... I think that's great for them to start out somewhere smaller than, you know, the huge mega colleges that we've got nowadays.
Yes, I'd like my kid not to be a number.
Okay, so speaking of numbers, so when I started college, I went to Southwest, which is now what, Texas State, and in those huge lecture halls, there'd be 500 of us.
Yeah.
And to call roll, we yelled out our social security numbers.
Yeah, no, that's not happening
so
anymore.
So now when you wonder why whatever country has hacked us, it's because they were all at Southwest Texas taking down all of our social security numbers as we were yelling them out.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that. So tell me what else is going on.
Well, you know, really, we're in kind of a kooky real estate market. It's definitely a scratch your head kind of real estate market. I thought today maybe we could share just a little bit of information about what's going on, some of the stuff we're seeing, maybe give some advice to people who are, you know, getting ready to sell, just to have an idea of, you know, I think for me, I was talking to somebody and I said, you know, at least we're not all alone. That every once in a while you pick the brain of somebody else and you're like, oh, everybody's experiencing this.
Yeah.
And people are doing a little bit of freaking out.
Yeah.
And
so I have had a couple of phone calls. You know, I've been doing this. This last month was my 25th anniversary at Kendall County Abstract.
Did we have a party?
No, we didn't. But I should have at least had a cookie or something.
Shoot.
I mean, really. Anyway, so in that time, I've dealt with some of the local realtors literally for 20 plus years, some of them.
Yes.
And, you know, we've had good times and we've had bad times. We've had crazy times like COVID. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that we've had a time like this where we were so busy, right? Because we just came off of COVID.
Yes.
And then literally it just stopped. And now we're so slow.
Yes.
So I feel like in all the years, you know, all the ups and downs that I've, you know, worked through, it was more of a gradual.
Yeah.
This was just like we stepped off a cliff one day and no contracts came in.
Yes.
When we were getting, I mean, there were days where I would, you know, go out in the main part of the office and I'd be like, okay, everybody, we just got a rally. We only got 15 today. We can do this. And now, you know.
We're like, woohoo, 7.
I mean, it's just made the difference between the two so much more noticeable, I think.
Right, I think you're right.
Because, you know, we were so busy and now we are not so busy. But anyway, I digress because what I was going to say about this is that in all these years, some of these agents, I literally in the past month or so have had a couple of phone calls from them.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be like, hey, are you busy?
Yeah. It's the same thing. We do this to you and we do it to lenders.
Yeah.
Because there's that cycle that follows. And
right.
You're going to see what's going on with the majority of us.
Right.
And the lenders are usually, that's kind of the first point of contact when people start to look.
Right.
And if their numbers are low and, you know, for those of us, we can have 15, 20 listings, but if
you don't have buyers,
no buyers, then.
And you know, I always, people are, you know, so many agents will be like, I'm so busy, but I'm not closing anything.
Correct.
You know, and especially in a market like this, I feel like there's just more and more, the files are harder. Because, yeah. You know, there's, people are stressed, they're, you know, it's harder to get them to the finish line.
Yes.
And I think we're going to talk about some of the issues here in a little bit, but.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, we keep hearing the term balanced market. I think we've tipped a little one way of unbalanced, where a balanced market is where you actually are seeing some houses close and whatnot, and we're starting, yes, things are closing.
Not a lot of them.
Just not a lot of them.
Right.
It's not a buyer's market. It's not a seller's market. We're not sure whose market it is at the moment. There is more inventory today than there was 4 months ago. That's for sure. But what's interesting is that usually something tips the scale. Either prices come down, interest rates come down, something changes. And what we're not seeing, interest rates coming down.
Right.
We're not seeing prices come down. So it's like a stalemate.
Right.
Who's going to budge first? With regards to rates, just so everybody's aware, current rates are like 6.87% for a conventional 30-year loan, 6.37% for an FHA and VA. Those numbers come out weekly. So if you are interested in getting an idea of what your particular situation is, contact your lender.
Yeah. Yes. We're not lenders. We're not attorneys. I feel like we didn't do our disclosure this time.
Oh, shoot.
Surely by now everybody knows.
By now everybody knows that.
we just play attorneys and lenders on podcasts.
I don't think anyone's coming to us for legal advice, that's for sure.
No kidding.
One of the things I think is the most fascinating is that we have a large cycle of people who purchased in, say, 2023. And I'm not even sure that was the height of the market. I think 2022 prices were still a little higher.
Yeah.
2023, the frenzy had started to slow considerably.
Absolutely.
But for those people who need to sell today, they're really struggling because people who purchased in, say, 2020, 2019, 2018, they have a lot more flexibility, having a lot more equity in their homes to play with so that the pricing can be as such. You were just talking about appraisals.
I don't even want to share this because it scares me, but I've had several files in the past 2 weeks that have not made appraisal.
Yes. And that's not something that
has happened in a while.
Yeah. It's not something we see historically in our area. Yeah. I think that's been a huge factor in keeping prices where they are because homes have been appraising.
Yes.
So the value was there. Again, if your home doesn't appraise, your real estate agent's going to advocate
with the appraiser.
With the appraiser.
Yeah.
Which again, I will say, don't do real estate without a professional. Don't
right.
do real estate without right. an agent. Cause you need a strong, strong team.
So let's have a little background about the whole appraisal thing, and I'm going to give you my view on it, and
yeah.
then you can tell me, because this is not my area of expertise at all. So it used to be back before the mortgage meltdown, mm-hmm. right, that the appraisers that were used for Kendall County property were our local appraisers, right?
Yes.
So the lenders would call one of the three or four that were here in town and be like, hey, go out and appraise, blah, blah, ABC, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
they would, and they would turn in the appraisal, and we were great. Well, then the mortgage meltdown happened, and, you know, they were trying to point fingers all over the place. And one of the things was, hey, we're not having third-party appraisers. We're having, you know, people that are in the
in-house.
Yes.
Yes.
And that they're not accurately reflecting the appraised values. And so that's how this whole mess started. Okay.
Yes.
There were lots of reasons for the mess, and that probably wasn't one of them, but they did revamp how that happened. Right. So then after the mortgage meltdown, when we all started coming out of it, we were seeing where, okay, let's say I'm a lender, I'm an ABC lender, right? And in order to have a home appraised, I have a bucket of appraisers.
Yes.
And I just have to draw one out of the hat.
Yep.
So we had lots of issues during this time because I literally had a file where an appraiser from Flatonia, I didn't even think that was a real place, but it really is. He came from Flatonia and he appraised my downtown Bernie house like it was in Flatonia, that is a made up land apparently. And it was $150,000 under value. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
Right. So we've had appraisal problems in the past, mm-hmm. but it's because we had pains on figuring out how to go and how to do it.
Okay? Yes.
Well, so during the whole mortgage meltdown, when they started just drawing the appraisers out of the hat, we as the title company were taken out of it. So it used to be we got a copy of the appraisal, we paid the appraiser, they sent us their invoice, we collected for it on the closing statement, all of that. Well, during all that time, they changed it. So now I never see an appraisal. I don't know when they're going out. I don't know if they've mm-hmm. been out. I don't ever even know if it made appraisal or not.
Right.
Unless something like these three that I've had recently where the agent calls and they're like, oh no, we didn't make, you know, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I'm title.
Exactly.
That's all I am. I'm just title. I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, we've been through this before,
right.
You know, where we had issues, and now it's funny how I'm seeing it come back, and it's not supposedly a fluke this time. You know, it is that we've got, you know, all of these houses that have been valued so high, and these sellers are not wanting to come down, which who can blame them?
No, you know, it's like lumber prices. If I can keep getting that, why in the world would I go backwards?
Right. And not only that, but in order to get out of the house,
right.
I feel like so many times it's not that they're being greedy. It's that, wait a minute, here is my bottom line. This is what I purchased it for.
Right.
These are all the fees that I've got. If I can't get X dollars, then I'm going to have to come to closing with money.
Yes.
And I will tell you, I've also had that happen twice lately. And that, you know, is always indicative of a market change, in my opinion.
Yes, I would agree. And we're starting to see folks who, with their financial planners, have decided this is a great year to take a loss. I am just going to be okay with whatever my house sells for because I need the loss. We're also seeing that because there's so many in Kendall County, as well as just across the nation, there are so many people turning 65 and over.
Yes.
And we're starting to see where that generation for sure is probably owns their house outright. Their mortgage is very, very low. Families trying to help them make decisions for estate planning. They have an extraordinary amount of flexibility. They also have a house that probably needs some updating, any number of things, which puts it at a different price point. As the neighbor who flipped the house in 2022, 2023, those people, it looks on paper, overpaid for their house once it comes to the appraisal process trying to get things sold. So, you know, that kind of spurred me into another thing. One of the things that we're also seeing is you got to sell in order to buy.
Right.
And if everybody's in that cycle, it becomes a very vicious cycle. If I have to sell in order to buy, the dam's got to break somewhere.
Right.
I still think we have a ton of people who are looking to buy. They're just waiting for either interest rates to come down, the perfect house to come on the market. I don't really know what it is people are waiting for, because the experts still tell us when everybody is scared, that's the time.
Right.
You make a decision because you get the very best deals.
Right.
Interest rates, we touched on. I think that's something that I know I have seen is, let's say somebody bought in 2022 and magically your interest rate's 2.5%. It is lovely. You're in a neighborhood, but you need a bigger house. Things aren't working out for you. Some people feel as if they're having to downgrade their expectations. They're downgrading the home that they need to purchase so that they can get a bigger home, but maybe the neighborhood doesn't have the amenities that they currently have, because that interest rate has priced them
out of the market.
Out of the market.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this in multiple previous podcasts about the fact that, you know, where people are right now with those interest rates, they can't make a jump.
Yes.
So the way that it normally works in all the years that I've been doing this is, you know, I buy my house and typically, you know, it used to be 7 years is how long people stayed in their house. And then after 7 years, they needed something different.
Right.
And by that time, they had accumulated enough equity, the interest rates were wherever, you know, and so they just bought a house that was, you know, one, maybe even two steps up from what they had, right? So they go from their starter house, the, you know, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, whatever. Then they go to a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. And then we go up to, you know, however many bedrooms and a pool and an office. And, you know, you just keep going up. Well, what's happened is they can't do that right now.
Right.
They can't do that because we've got low interest rates. The prices are so high. So, I mean, they've been priced out of the market. And, you know, I think I made comment about this in our last podcast about the fact that I was going to the conference where I get all my hours.
Oh, yes.
Right? And yes. So they had, you know, I want to say they had a lot of insight. And I think to a certain extent, I got a lot of information out of it. But they don't have a crystal ball.
No.
Right?
Gosh, if they only had a crystal ball.
Exactly. We know, you know, just because forever and ever, we know that it's a cyclical market.
Yeah.
So we're down in the troughs, you know, so at some point we've got to come out. Can they tell us when? No.
No.
But they did, you know, start talking about, okay, they feel like interest rates are going to come down, which
but
that's
what
they
told us.
Just an
FYI and a survey. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For all of 2024, we were told interest rates will be coming down.
And here we are. Here we are. Halfway through 2025.
Yes.
I did see something on the news, you know, that job market is where it should be.
Yeah.
Inflation is where it should be. Mm-hmm. So pray tell what the problem is. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I do know that, so when I go to the grocery store or I go to the Walmarts or wherever I'm out and about and I see people, you know, for years I would see people, you know, all the time. And in a down market, guess what? I don't see everybody
unless
I'm out and about places. And inevitably, everybody that I see is like, oh, I'm coming to see you as soon as, and fill in the blank.
Yes.
As soon as the interest rate comes down, as soon as they figure out the tariffs, as soon as, I mean, there's a million things.
Yes.
As soon as. So I know you alluded to that pent-up demand. I know it's there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because I can't make it through the grocery store without hearing about it about 3 times.
Yes. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I talk to, and they're like, oh, I think I'm getting ready to sell.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I've started to hear people say, you know what, I've started the work on my house. However, you know, John Doe contractor, his prices are 5 times what they were in 2019. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do. What do we do? And I don't want to paint a doom and gloom picture for everybody.
I feel
everybody,
like we're always doom and gloom. One of these days we're going to have a big, happy podcast, but not today.
I mean, some of this is, I think it doesn't help anybody to go, everything's great.
Right.
Everything's lovely. And I also don't think it helps to be like, I know exactly what's going on, because that's how we get in trouble. That's
right.
What everybody's talking about. You need to do this and you need to do that. And this is the story you need to be paying attention to. And
yeah.
It's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that that's part of people's fear. There's that underlying overwhelm of, I can't get right information from people. No one gives me straight answers. And the bottom line is that you're not going to get a lot of straight answers if all you're doing is talking to your neighbors and listening to social media.
Right, because everybody's got their opinion.
You've got to go to the source. Call a lender.
Mm-hmm.
Call Ashley at the title company. Call me if you have a real estate question. We don't have all the answers, but we certainly are going to be able to give you a little bit of direction as things are going.
And we'll also tell you, we don't know.
Yes.
You know, that's half the battle. It's people that are blowing smoke and telling you, I am busier than I've ever been, or I'm this or that. Okay, I don't know if that's the 100% truth. Other than, you know, I do know that when these transactions are harder, you do feel like you're busier. You're just not putting anything to the finish line. And so there is that, which I think I already mentioned.
Yes. Maybe to shed some light or some, make it a little bit happier. I think we have some advice for people who either have their house on the market, who are considering selling, just things to take into consideration as you start to move in that direction. I don't have a long, long list. The thing I always say is, let's be patient, because homes are sitting on the market 60 to 90 days, some even longer. And it is not surprising that there are some houses, incredible custom homes, that have been on the market for over a year.
Right.
There are sellers who are definitely ready to move. And you know, the term, they're motivated. They're not dumb. They're not going to give away the farm, but they're ready to go, which means buyers, there is an awesome opportunity to get a house. Yes, your interest rate might be a little higher. We don't know what it's going to go to. We don't know if it's going to go up again. You really could be sitting on the sidelines getting upset about the 6.87% interest rate, and next year it goes back to 7.5%.
It's true.
Just the nature of the beast.
It's true.
And it's always a hard pill to swallow when you're sitting down in front of somebody and say, look, as amazing as your house is, I've got to tell you that it's probably a 90-day process. Now, I have had people I told that to, and lo and behold, we got an offer in a week. It still happens.
Right, because when a buyer loves a house, I mean, they're still emotional, and they, you know, they walk in, and they're like, oh, it feels like home, and it's the one I want, and
yes,
that's all she wrote. And yes, that does happen. And then, you know, we get the contract, they're like, we want to close in 2 days. Okay, well, that's not going to work out for us, but we will do our best to close it as fast as possible.
Yeah, that's the other, I think, a myth we could debunk. Even if you're a cash buyer, closing in a week is pretty unrealistic.
We've done it.
Yes.
But it's not something that we
can... Ashley's paying a lot of overtime.
Yeah, it's not something that we can do on a regular basis.
And with the market being this competitive, I think one of the big things that, you know, we all hear declutter, declutter, declutter. And I don't think people necessarily fully understand the true nature of declutter because... like I tell people, you want your house to be as competitive as possible. And you're competing against builders who's got a house that's never been lived in, ever. It either has no furniture or it has staged furniture in it.
Right.
And it looks amazing. I had the opportunity to tour some model homes the other day. And I was like, no wonder people are so disappointed when they finally go into other houses because these things are tricked out.
Yes, I had somebody else tell me that the other day.
Amazing. So when you think you've decluttered a lot, just do it again. And this is where getting somebody else to come in, somebody who's going to be honest with you to say, hey, look, you know, let's remove this. Or, you know, this wall is just covered in pictures and tchotchke stuff and whatnot. That just, it's not helping show every square inch
right
of a property. Get a storage unit if you need to, really.
Yeah.
I mean, with the long, it's like a purse. The larger the purse, the more you feel it. The house,
yeah,
the longer you live there, the more you feel it. And then you don't even see it anymore.
Right.
I mean, I live with a lot of people, and I don't see half the clutter.
Yeah.
Until you, it's what you should do, too. Invite people over for dinner, and you'll declutter really fast. And then keep it that way.
What, you just, so this is interesting to me, because I'm not in this area yes of it, right? And I always think, as I'm closing people, you know, they'll be like, well, have you seen my house? And I always want to say, no, I haven't, but I want to go tour every house before I close it. Because, you know, I'm just nosy like that.
Yes.
So I find it very interesting when you talk about decluttering and you talk about staging and you talk yes about, you know, all of those things. Or, you know, oh, I'm going to go in and redo my kitchen and then I'm going to put it on the market. Or I'm going to, you know, I mean, how does all of that work?
Well, it all depends, frankly. A lot of times people don't need to do anything. I mean, sometimes people just have a low maintenance lifestyle and their house is ready.
So let me ask you this. If I have a house and I'm going to put it on the market and I know it needs to be updated.
Yeah.
To me, as somebody who is not involved in this part of it, I would think, wait, as a buyer, I would rather you just say, I'm going to give you an allowance
yeah
to do this, because no matter what you do, it's not going to be to my taste or to Joe Blow. You can't.
Yeah. And that's where it gets tricky, because there are some things that you really need to do, not because you're going to recoup the money, but it's going to make your house stand out from the others.
Kind of like what?
Paint is a very, very easy fix and something that is a make or break, because people sometimes can't see past certain
things. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I have to just see it. You
yes
know, like my husband, he can look and he'd be like, we're going to do this, this, and this. And
yes
I'm like, even if he draws me a picture, I can't get it.
Yeah.
I am very, whatever I see.
So, and it doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of people have very personal taste when it comes to colors, and, it doesn't matter if you really, really love that bright purple wall.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else is not going to
like it. They might not like it.
So you, it, like, let's say that everything's beige.
Yeah, you can get away with beige.
Okay, so it's, you've got everything painted a different color. Then you're going to tell them what, go in and paint it like a cream color
yes
or something neutral?
Yes, something very neutral. You know, everybody says gone are the days of the bright whites and the grays and whatnot, but not really. Just
yeah
find a neutral paint color. This is where a realtor comes in as well. I think probably, I'm not exaggerating, excuse me, at least 6 times last month I went and visited with people who on the horizon mm-hmm are talking about doing certain, like putting their house on the market. So what do they need to do now? And there are a few things to do. Obviously, the declutter is a big one. Get the stuff out, because then it's easier to see what's going on.
And when you say declutter, and you said tchotchkes, I got that. But like, Okay, I'm just going to give you my house as an example, right? Yeah. You walk in the door and I've got, you know, a couch, and then I've got a settee, and then I've got a small couch. So are you thinking, okay, you want as little furniture in there and big pieces, right? You want it to be open and airy, or yes. each house you kind of
Well, and it depends at? On, it's right, it is true. It's each house is a little bit different, but okay. we also see a great example is that I have inherited furniture from my grandmother. And I have these little furniture pieces all over the place. And they're gorgeous furniture pieces. However, you have too much in your space, and it makes it really hard for a buyer to go in and say, either my stuff's going to work in here, my stuff will fit in here. A lot of times we see really large pieces of furniture, or an excess of large pieces of furniture makes a room look small.
Okay.
And so you kind of have to remind somebody, like, hey, look, this room is full of large furniture, your furniture will definitely fit. Too many, like covering your walls with pictures. I mean, everybody says depersonalize,
right?
Declutter, depersonalize. It also allows people just to see themselves in the space. Mm-hmm. A lot of I people very ornate, so like the old heavy curtains, not old, but you know, right. the real heavy uh-huh. curtains can make a room feel a little bit dark, can make it seem a little bit too full.
Yeah.
It's probably a good word. Lots of times in the kitchen, try to keep the cabinet countertops completely clear of stuff. Now, that's just for showings right. and for pictures. Live in it how it's going to be comfortable. But when you have a showing and someone's coming over, take it all off, because that way they can say, oh my gosh.
There's so much counter space.
So much space. And square footage is huge. I mean, it's one of the key priorities for people. And I find that some people can make a house work because of the way it's laid out, even though it's a little smaller than they thought that they needed. If there's too much stuff in the house for them to see what's going on, they can't get that feel. Other thing is, okay, I have teenage boys. Oh my gosh. I can't tell you how many times we've walked into a house and the dirty clothes basket's overflowing. It's clear that it's a kid's room for sure, but it just doesn't help when the next house those people walk into, it's all picked up and neat right. and tidy.
Or like you said, it's a builder spec house Correct. And nobody's ever even...
Correct. It just puts that house at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in all fairness, we're in a competitive market.
Right.
The market is always a competitive market. You want your house to stand out against the others.
And not because you got dirty clothes all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly. So a lot of times I tell folks, you know, don't feel like you have to rip up your floors. Don't feel like you have to, you know, repainting your walls. Yes. Cabinetry and all that stuff, that can get a little bit expensive. I try really hard to keep it to things that are going to fit somebody's budget, time frame,
right,
sanity level, because it can get a little bit out of control and you're not necessarily going to recoup your money for it.
Right.
It's just about making your house competitive. Curb appeal.
Oh,
yeah. You know, that's something that it's sad to say, and maybe it's just human nature, but the first impression is something you can never get over. And when someone drives up and that first impression, they're going to think that if the yard is well maintained, the rest of the house is well maintained. It's just human yeah. nature. And that doesn't mean go out and hire a landscaper to do a bunch of stuff. Just pick the weeds in the flower beds. Like, again, it's also...
Mow. I mean...
Yeah, mow.
So that you don't have the 52 weeds hanging out,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is the curb appeal. You can't ever overcome what your neighbors are doing.
Right.
And sometimes that is something that again, it's out of your control. You just navigate the best you can, but if your house looks as nice as it possibly can, then... And here's the other thing. Nobody has to do anything. You could say, I am not doing a single thing. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. This happens a lot mm-hmm. with some of my elderly clients.
Right.
And then the conversation becomes, let's just price it accordingly.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure that we're being realistic with somebody else is going to expect or somebody else is going to want. A lot of times we see carpeting as another good example. Carpeting, when it's old, it carries smells, stains, yeah. everything. If you can replace the carpet, that's fantastic. If you can't, let's just have an honest conversation. Right. Let people know straight away. They're probably going to want a flooring allowance.
Yeah.
Good communication overcomes just about every obstacle. The other thing that I get a lot is people just kind of this panicked, you know, I don't have everything in my house that other houses have. And you never know what somebody is looking for. I mean, this happens in starter homes all the way up to multi-million dollar homes. Somebody's going to have an opinion about anything that you've got going on in your house. So you just control the controllables. And if you can pull that dead bush out of the front yard, do it.
Yeah.
If you're not good with plants, don't plant pots on the front porch.
And have dead flowers.
Yeah, that's not really helpful. It's not really helpful.
That would be me.
And I will tell you that most of the stagers I work with, they put fake plants.
Oh, yeah, I have. I really ordered the fake plants off Amazon.
There's some good ones.
Okay, when you drive up and you're far off, you can't see.
No.
You can't tell. They just think that I've got a green thumb and I got it going on.
Yes. Well, the other thing we're seeing sellers kind of freaking out about is that, okay, I have three kids. And if when my kids were little and the thought of keeping the house stage ready and packing the kids and the dog up for showings. And I think this is where some people are like, I'm just not going to sell. It's just too much. It's just too hard. There is a way to navigate it, again, with good communication, enough lead time, just setting the expectation when a buyer walks in. You know, make sure your agent's talking to their agent to say, hey, look, this is the situation. You know, obviously we have too much furniture in here because we're growing out of the house. That's why we're selling.
Right.
So, you know, don't think that it's not possible or that you have to do a ton. Control the controllables.
Yeah. And I do like what you said. You know what? Sometimes I have people that just don't do it. They're like, I'm not going to do it.
No.
Sell my house or don't sell it. You know, I mean, whatever. One thing that I just thought about that, again, it's relevant to this type of market are contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a couple of those. And so will you talk about those a little bit? Because I know as a real estate agent, y'all kind of deal with them. I deal with them because I will have, you know, a contingency on a contract.
Right.
And then we can also talk about backup offers.
Yeah, sure. Which, for sure. I mean, not getting too many of those these days.
No, but surprisingly, when you've got a house that everybody wants.
It's true.
Sometimes.
So a contingency, also known as the first right of refusal. And I will say, too, there can be contingencies for all kinds of things. But traditionally, it's that first right of refusal when someone needs to sell their house in order to buy the house. And they put in an offer. And they have the first shot at the house. Sellers are a little bit nervous about contingency offers these days. Because
houses are sitting for so long.
Yeah, exactly. They're not selling. And especially since we have so many people coming from out of state, getting a feel for what's going on in those markets, it's a little bit tough, frankly, because, you know, we're only experts in the markets we serve.
Right.
So you've got this contingency offer. Now, some sellers don't like it because people don't want to go see the property if it's considered under contract.
So basically, we get a contract that says, hey, this is the seller. I'm going to be the buyer, but I have a contingency. I can't buy it until I sell my property. And sometimes that property is in Timbuktu, and sometimes it's two streets over.
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't matter where that other house is. It just matters that, hey, either I can't qualify. It's usually because you can't qualify, right? They can't qualify with two mortgages. So in order to purchase this new house, they've got to sell their old one.
Right. And sometimes their house is already under contract, and the nature of the beast with things falling in and out of contract. Mm-hmm. They've got the appraisal process, you know, on and on and on. It's just a little bit of a delicate dance. But the way it works is that you have the contingency until a specified date. If somebody else comes in and says, you know, I really love this house, I want to buy it, then traditionally it's 3 to 5 days that you give that first person the right to say, okay, fine, I'm going to risk it. So say, for instance, their house is already under contract. They're in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? I think we're going to be okay. We're supposed to close in, you know, 20 days on our house and then buy this house and close in 30 days. The gamble is that now you've got somebody who's put themselves at a little bit of risk to lose their earnest money. But some might say, hey, you know what? The earnest money is worth it.
Right.
I really want this house. It's the house for me. I've got to move. It's going to be great for my family. But they can also say, you know what? I'm out.
Let other people buy it, and we'll go find something else when our house does sell.
Exactly. Which a lot of people are doing because our market now has more homes. There's more homes on the market now than there have been probably in the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where buyers are picky. which is great, because mm-hmm. for many years they didn't have...
Right, they were sight unseen, exactly. Or there's no door, there's no bathroom, they're still buying, it was crazy.
Yes, forget what that inspector said about the roof, I don't care.
Yep.
So some of them are doing that. We're also seeing one of the reasons I think multi-generational housing is so incredibly popular right now, where you have, you know, the secondary, you have the mass primary suite, excuse me, and then you have another secondary bedroom downstairs with a bathroom is, yes, it's for, you know, when your parents get older and you've got older kids, but it also creates the scenario where, you know, Johnny and Jane, who are in transition to sell their house.
Right.
Come on. Like, no problem. Now you can be piggy with what you want to do.
Right.
It's kind of interesting.
It is.
The way that dynamic has shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
It's
funny how that we all make it work.
Yes.
You know, that, I mean, how crazy it is when the market's crazy, and then all the things that you see when the market takes a downturn and the way that people get around.
Yes.
You know, like we talked about doing a second lien so they can build a bedroom, or,
yes.
You know, I mean, people are resilient. We find a way.
Yes. And then Ashley asked about the backup offer. So, yeah, if there's a house that is, I mean, primo.
Yeah.
Priced right, gorgeous, professionally staged, probably no one lives there.
Yeah.
You know, so it never gets dirty. Anyway, you've got somebody who comes in to make us an offer. The offer looks pretty good. Seller says, you know what? I just want to make sure I'm covered. I want to make sure this thing sells. They can do what's called a backup offer. And that's handled exactly the same way as a first offer is. You put in your option money. You put your earnest money down. The only difference is that you're not going to pay for an inspection until the other one falls out.
Yeah.
You just don't want to waste the money and somebody's time with something like that, I think.
In the crazy times, in the COVID times, we did lots of backups.
Yes. In fact, I can say that my clients were putting in backups on multiple properties.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get there in time to be the first.
I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. Speaking of inspections, I think that's something else that sellers just need to, you know, be a little bit mindful of, is that there's always a surprise on an inspection. Always, always. And a buyer, there's always going to be a buyer that uses it as an excuse to back out, even if it's petty.
Right.
You've got your lender required repairs, things like roofs and, you know, big ticket items.
Right.
Sometimes the lender's going to say, you know, that's got to get fixed. But sometimes it's things, again, that you didn't even know about. And sellers just need to be prepared that, you know, those small out-of-pocket expenses can be worth it. You can either fix it or you can give a concession because, you know, the dishwasher is completely kaput and those people want to put in their own.
Right. Or the GFI outlet. I don't know
why. Gosh.
I feel like that is so,
people freak out.
Yes.
So unnecessary. So a GFCI is the type of outlets put in places like kitchens and bathrooms and laundry rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because if any water is detected, it's protected. And the inspector's always going to say there's no GFCI outlets in the kitchen, especially, you know.
Right. In older homes or, yeah, I mean, anyway.
Code changed and then nobody had GFCI.
Right.
So there was a day nobody did. But that's a $10 outlet you can buy at Home Depot.
Right.
And either do yourself or ask somebody who knows how to do it. So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest one that I see people freak out. And I don't know if it's because the way it's worded in the inspection report.
I don't either, but literally we get to the closing table and we're still talking about it. And I'm like,
yes,
okay, y'all did the whatever $35,000 roof, no big deal, but these GFIs, we're really going to town. Yeah, we're going to town. We're going to not close this deal because of this GFI outlet.
Yes. Well, and also, too, I think just people need to be ready to negotiate. And there's a lot of different things that you can negotiate on. Obviously, price is the biggest one. Timing is one of those negotiating factors. But one of the things that, you know, in a wonky market, we're starting to see people get very creative with their negotiating, which is why you need a real estate professional to help you. Title policy is something we're seeing negotiated more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And it may still factor out that the seller pays the title policy, but once you inform a buyer, look, you want to offer this price, you're $25,000 under the list price, that's great. Let's start negotiating. Would you like to pay for title policy?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to forego a home warranty? Because at some point, a seller, nobody wants to have to come to closing with money.
Right.
And once you start really digging into the nitty-gritty of a contract, again, there's so many ways that not paying attention, you could be coming to closing with some money.
Yes. And, you know, I get phone calls about that all the time because, you know, to the person that does not do this all day, every day, there are some tricky spots in that contract.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's just as easy as or just as simple as, wait a minute, I didn't know I was paying for the home warranty.
Right.
Wait a minute, I didn't know that I was going to have to pay for the survey deletion on the owner title policy.
Yes.
Wait a minute, how come I'm paying the title policy, the survey, and all these? You know, I mean, it gets a little hairy when you're in a market like we are. And, you know, a minute ago you said something about negotiations, and I want to throw out there that a lot of times, you know, the negotiations happen and then they send us the amendment and immediately I'm like, this is not going to fly with the lender.
Right.
So those kind of, you know, like let's say that you do need a new roof. And so they've decided they're not going to put the new roof on until after closing. Those are things that need to be run by the lender.
Yes.
If it is something that the lender has indicated that they want.
Yeah.
Or if they, you know what, I'm going to give them a $10,000 allowance for new floors. What is that really going to look like on our closing statement? Because if you're trying to take $10,000 from the seller and give it to the buyer, that can throw off your LTV, which is loan to value.
Yes.
That's, again, an issue that your lender's going to step in.
Yes.
I'm not a lender. All I know is it causes me issues on the title side because we can't get balanced.
They can make everything.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, in this type of market is when I always say, you know what, I get not thinking outside the box or trying to think outside
right.
the box.
Yes.
But you have to be aware that there are still rules and regulations, and especially when you have, you know, lenders involved.
Right.
You know, that have to make all those numbers work. So.
Yeah. Closing costs are another thing that can really kind of throw everything off. Gifts.
Yes. Oh, but you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I, last week and this week together, have had 3 files that had gift funds.
Yes.
So, gift funds are if I am buying a house, and it can be my first house or it can be my 52nd house. It doesn't matter always, you know, which it is. But let's say I just, you know, my grandmother's going to give me $100,000. That has to go through the lender. The lender has to know that there's
yes.
going to be gift funds at closing. And then the grandmother has to send us those funds. It cannot come through my account. I mean, there's all sorts of...
Well, because you want to avoid gift tax as well. We're also
right.
finding, you know, parents who are trying desperately to help their children instead of giving them the money to buy their first home. So say mom and dad are, you know, it's great. They have all the money. They can pay cash for this house. They want it to be their children. You know, a lot of people are gifting their children inheritance prior to the parent's
right.
death. Those parents need to send the money to the title company. Otherwise, going through the kids, it could be subject to gift tax.
And also, if $100,000 shows up in the kid's account, the lender can't source that. And
yes.
again, I want to make sure y'all know you need to talk to your financial advisor about gifts
yes.
and all of that. I'm just saying that I have seen 3 files where we've had gift funds come in, and I had a lender on all 3 of them.
Yes. Well, we also start to see some creative stuff. There's a form called the non-realty item addendum where you put things like refrigerators and stuff like that. No lender really wants to see it.
No, and they don't want to see that any of the purchase money is going for non-realty items. And we as the title company don't want to see
no.
that a portion of the purchase price is for anything other than real property, because we can't insure anything but real property.
Right.
So if you are buying a house for $400,000 and then you're buying all the furniture for $100,000,
yes,
we cannot insure $500,000.
Right. It's got to be separate.
Right.
Yes.
And that causes people some grief because they
yeah.
try to write it up like, you know, we're going to insure all of that.
Yeah. No.
Negative.
Try writing a pet into a contract.
I did do like a $2,000 bottle of tequila one time.
No.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I wrote tortoises into a contract once.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I did. Yep.
Okay. That's great. Tortoises.
Tortoises. Yeah, they live. Those things live forever.
I know they do.
Just why they're
and parrots too, right?
Yes,
don't they live a long time?
I think so. But I think the bottom line is, I hope that we've provided some information about kind of what's going on. You know, this is not the time to panic and freak out. That's usually when you make the wrong decisions, when you're making a hasty, uneducated decision. We have resources for everybody. You know, whether whether you just have questions, you know, if you're already in a contract and you just have a question, feel free to reach out. You can reach us at closingtable@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at The Closing Table. Feel free to DM us and ask us a question. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who we can send you to get some answers, because everybody's situation is so individualized. Even if it's a question of, can I snapshot this picture of my kitchen and should I paint my kitchen cabinets before I decide to put it on the market, we will answer your questions. Because it can be so confusing.
Yeah.
And especially in this fear-based, like, you know, don't believe everything you read on social media. Don't believe everything that's on the news. Really, just go to the experts and sources, trusted sources, for the information, so that you're making the best decision for yourself.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, so
okay.
To recap, you can listen to us on Reggae Rocks Kendall County under the podcast section. You can go back and listen to any of them.
If you want to listen to us live, we're on the first Saturday of every month at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, it has been fabulous chatting with you, as usual, and we'll catch you next month.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bye.